Good evening. This is Veronica Entwistle. Well, this is also some birds and some wonderful music by Amrita Cottrell, which was created many years ago so that she could heal her own breast cancer. Anyway, I'm Veronica Entwistle. A lot of you know that. And I run this show, Paradigm Shifters, which is usually interviews. But so much is happening on the planet. And I, as an intuitive and energy counselor who sees things, hears things, and loves to walk with many of you through some of the traumas and changes and fulfillments that go on in your life, I thought it would be fun to spend this time with you this week and do live call-ins. And I have to get the numbers up on my screen, which you might be able to do if you're on BBS radio. But I'm going to get you to call in. One of the things my guide said recently, because there's so much injustice that's flagrant around the world. I don't know if you noticed that. And there's a lot of chicanery. There's an awful lot of deception going on in the government, in the current administration. And we're all going, what do we do? Who do we count on? And you and I know that many of the reasons that the swing went into the Trump direction was because there was so much doubtful behavior going on by any of the people in power up till that time. Some of us were delighted about Bernie because he was sort of straight up, a little bit roughshod, but with a heart of gold. And he doesn't have a lot of deception, or doesn't appear to have a lot of deception in him, where I kind of got the willies about... And I'm not going to do a whole political thing because I'm not that brilliant at it. But I got the willies looking at Hillary Clinton. I knew that we had more of the machine sneaking up on us and not a very honest presentation of what she was dealing with in the powers behind the scenes. And so for all, I would never have voted for Trump, but for all the people that did, I can kind of understand at least some of the more intelligent ones seeking change and realizing that the mistrustable, the untrustables had been creating power issues and bleak futures for a lot of people for quite a long time. And so the idea is to hop the ship and see if we can go for broke on something that doesn't look like the same old game. And actually, it's true. It's not the same old game. But promises were made, and normally in the political situation, promises are made and kept vague enough that most of us don't recognize when the promises are dashed to the ground. In this case, with Mr. Trump, the promises were flagrant. He promised to be so helpful, so kind, and supportive, while he pulled away as many of the supports for ecology, for animals, for climate change, for support for people, for Planned Parenthood, all these different things that A, he was obviously prejudiced about, because B, he's very ignorant about them. Am I supposed to say that on global radio? Well, I'm just saying it. Okay, you can call in and make a fuss if you like. I'd love that. And the other thing about all of that is, if you look into, and if you read enough stuff, if you look into the history of civilizations on planet Earth, there's always been kind of a build-up to some kind of huge heroic empire, like even the Incas, the Roman Empire, Greeks, even a lot of the native indigenous people. There's all kinds of situations where they came to pinnacles of wisdom and of support for their people, only to have that top-heavy power, you know, power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely, take over and then suddenly crash, burn, dog eat dog, people telling on each other, people killing each other, murdering each other to get them out of the way. We know that that's been going on for many, many, what would we say, epochs, where you'd have like a couple of thousand years of progress and then dashed apart. A couple of thousand years of progress and dashed apart. And I guess one of the things that fascinates me is as we talk now, on planet Earth, I find it really interesting because in my work, I work with individuals in very intense healing kind of work, bringing in guides and angels, higher selves, and working with you on healing your body, mind, your emotional nature, and so on. But also doing that kind of healing work and being able to see things in people's bodies, I'm so conscious about the number of lifetimes or the very deep and ancient reactions that we're all carrying through our body mind. So I think, well, maybe we're going to have a nuclear war, right? And that's, to me, is insane and stupid, but probably not any stupider than all the oil stuff and the abuse of groups of people and the mass murders and so on. But it's interesting to me that if we all pass and end up lurking around on the other side, and I see an awful lot of spirits, very beautiful, wonderful spirits, engaged consciously in reaching from the other side through the veil to connect with someone they left behind here, so that neither of them would have to carry the weight of a past, an incomplete betrayal or deception or murder or rape or just general horribleness to one another. People are it's fairly normal to have hurt people. But the other thing is, when we talk about ancient civilizations, or the fact that I can look into people and others can as well, and you can see how deep and how old that soul has progressed through reality, through time. But the thing that bugs me the most, if as I'm on the other side, because we all go through, I do not want to lurk around over there and see if I have done enough repair to come back on a higher level. I don't want to keep running the same old programs like that. Back you go, do it again, back you go. You're attached to Mary Jo over there, and you're attached to Fred because you didn't clean up your mess. And so now you have to find different ways of associating in order to clean up your mess in slightly different styles. And if you're lucky, you start all over again. And through the centuries, from what I gather, inch by inch by inch, even though we're going hundreds and hundreds of years at a time, we make progress, a kind of a progress. But it's in the form of consciousness, isn't it? And as we make our progress, and it comes up in the form of consciousness, the other thing that happens is we feel and we breathe the nature of consciousness, which is all around us. So say I come up and I've got memory reactions from lifetimes in Atlantis, from lifetimes in Greece, from wandering around in a little village in Germany, from being Chinese, from all these different things. And I come back in this life, I may be pulled in all kinds of directions to act out what was here, what was there, what did I do in Greece, what did I do in China. Oh, I was a leader that wasn't very nice, and here I was an abused little person in Hawaii or in Malaysia. Doesn't matter, but if you look at it that way, you go, we're kind of like this amazing stew that keeps stewing round and round and round in the vibrations, in the frequencies of consciousness. And I'm going, my dream, remember I'm on the other side now looking down, my dream is when I get to the other side, I've learned how to step out of these pools of consciousness and to create new levels of intelligence and consciousness that doesn't just take me back through the reruns, through the old ways. The other thing is, you and I have heard a lot about oneness and oneness blessings and so on. And the kind of association that I'm talking about and talking about consciousness is it's more about, I got to struggle, I got to work hard, I've got to be okay in the world, I've got to be okay in this group of people, I've got to lie, and let's go back to politics, I got to lie enough so that I'll stick up in the crowd and get the power of being in that position. But very rarely do you hear people in high positions talking about we are one. We have resources on this planet, and there's enough to feed everyone, there's enough to clothe everyone, and there's enough wisdom, and there's enough inventors, and there's enough inspiration to create tools that help actually magically help deal with things like climate change, offset things like climate change, where we look it in the eye and see the decreasing of underwater life. Like, just think about the bleached out corals down in the reef in Australia. Number of trees that are in the ghost forests in the eastern states, right? Think about the fires that are burning right now all over the place with the unnatural, abnormal temperatures. Think about the poisoned food, which we've allowed Monsanto to do because it makes them a lot of money, whilst they convince people through our subversive media, convince people that what they're doing, GMOing the foods, is going to feed the whole world because nothing will go bad, right? Of course, the fact that we're going to live with glyphosates in our body mind in a time where cancer is pretty prevalent, I would say as prevalent as lies in the mass consciousness. Listen to me, I'm on a rant here. I don't mean to, but I just go, oneness, when we talk about oneness, there is an evolution possible for you and I, which can literally step us up out of the melee of karma and more into a world in which you can create and I can create for the sake of all of life, not just for myself so I can hoard a very amazing income and have a house. And like I heard some stuff on housing in San Francisco, they're going, so many people can't get housing because it's so overpriced. And they can't get subsidized because there's no money for that. However, there's tremendous numbers of houses that are left empty, and the ownership of those is subsidized by landowners and house owners that are just doing it for investments. So they leave their houses empty, and they have, because it's investment, they have a business going, so they get all kinds of subsidies. So we have a little bit of a topsy-turvy society, and yet underlying it, look, we are all one. And as an intuitive, I can reach out with my sensing tools like my body mind and really feel what you're feeling. I can have the compassion of empathizing and identifying with what you're feeling. Well, you can do that too. We have to drop off some of the incredible isolation, and we have to allow ourselves to really move into a consciousness that allows us to feel or walk in the shoes of other people. Now, that's a long diatribe, and I don't mean to be that way, but I want to, I do mean to be that way. I wanted to say to all of you, my guides and angels, when I was channeling a couple of weeks ago, kept saying, you must speak. You must raise your voices, because the deception that's going on and the controls of people in many countries all over the world and the denial of the climate changes and so on, all of that is converging on a very disastrous time on the planet. But we can do something about it. But we have to stand up and scream. We have to stand up and yell, not violently. We have to march. We have to write. We have to speak. We have to say, media, you can't just control my mind, because that's another thing that's happening. It's because they want to market everything and make a lot of money. The rest of us get suck up this stuff through our brains and get filled with absolute nonsense. Or as Steve Behrman, otherwise known as Swami Beyond Ananda, would say, good grief, these are weapons of mass distraction. This is a fascinating, fascinating, fascinating time, because in the midst of all these negative, dramatic things that I've been talking about, there is a rising of consciousness. There's a rising of consciousness in some people. And some of us were taught years ago that it'll rise up, even as it'll maybe be at different rates and different people and different kinds of people. It might even be up in the head of the military. It could rise in some of the administration that's there right now. This is not a proposition of right or left politics, of what I want. I hear the misuse of words like Nazi, fascist, and communist, because we don't really know what we're talking about. But those ists and isms and left and right, division in the name of Jesus Christ, I'm like, come on, Christ didn't do that. That's a typical example. Here we have all the world that's shrinking as population grows. I'm fascinated because the frequencies are rising, and they're coming down from the universes, and they're rising up in the planet. So the planet is becoming Mother Earth, beloved Mother Earth, is becoming a much higher frequency being. And guess what? So are you. So are many other people. And what does that mean to be a higher frequency being? Well, I get really excited because you and I are energy beings first and foremost. Most of us aren't taught that, right? So you're an energy being first and foremost. And when those energies are enhanced, where they're sped up, guess what? You can make huge, huge changes in your well-being, your consciousness, your health, your relationships, but you can't struggle against the changing frequencies in yourself. You have to get with it. You have to get in step with it as if you're dancing, and you want to rise harmoniously with it and change who you are and how you do things. And the things about, you know, about auras, right? The things about that is your aura sticks out of your body, absolutely laden with the reactions you have and the frequencies that you bear, right? So if you consciously bring in higher frequency energies and radiate them out your body, well, it's really shocking how contagious that can be. So the more of us that do that, the more we can flip this incredibly diverse reality that we've been struggling to survive in. And we only survive when we play their game, it seems, but I don't believe that that's true. Now, my name is Veronica Entwistle. I'm an intuitive and energy counselor, and I've been on BBS radio for a long, long, long time, way longer than I remember now. I think it was 2007 or 2008. And we've been running Paradigm Shifters, which is interviews with people who are making a difference, creatives, inventors, people who love spirit and want to teach about that kind of thing. And I just decided, I already said it earlier, but I just decided tonight I'd like to talk to you the way I used to on Radiance by Design, which was my earlier show. And on Radiance by Design, I always took callers, and I'd really like you to call in to this show. Let's see if I can find the number here for you. And I'd like you to ask me some questions. You can send them in to my email, which is veronica@veronicaentwistle.com. Let me see if I can ask for help here. Will somebody find me the phone numbers for calling in? I know they were in my flyer. So some of you have told me in advance some of the questions that you want me to answer. Now, remember, I'm an intuitive and energy counselor. Oh, okay. Here's the number, 888-627-6008. 888-627-6008. And I hope that you'll call in with questions of my guides and angels. And you can ask any kind of question you want. What about your soul journey? What about your what kind of spirits are you talking to? How is your home life? How's your business life? When is it going to change? What about your relationship with your mom and dad? Now, here's a really good question. I don't know how old you are. I think we got a broad spectrum of people out there. But a lot of young women, especially these days, and their mothers have terrible friction. Have you noticed that? I can list off maybe 20 off right off the top of my head. It's really, really frustrating. So somebody wrote in and said, why is it so hard for mothers and daughters to get along these days, at least mothers and adult daughters? So I want you to think about that. Do you have any other questions about that? Otherwise, I'll just talk to the guides. Okay, good. Somebody sent me a question. Isn't that exciting? And I'll go back and ask. Okay. Huh. I don't think she sent it to me. She sent me something, but there's no question on it. So in any case, here's the deal about the mothers. We talked about how your soul's journey go on and on, right? And we've all been through a whole bunch of experiences in different lifetimes. And soul groups are very interesting. They're not always related. But in soul groups, there's kind of I think of them as a big bunch of hot air balloons, meaning they have a common stem and they float above. And this is just my own metaphorical image that comes up. But I think in soul groups, there's quite an affinity for one another. You can be a variety of things. You can be support for each other. You can deeply recognize each other. You're drawn together for a number of reasons. One can be to accomplish some kind of project. Perhaps it's been way in the past, I see that when population was a little thinner, way in the past, I see some soul groups would come together to run or to establish a country or a community of some sort. And they would be born into an attraction one for the other. And that would develop. But I think it's quite different when the soul families get together. Because in soul families, it appears that, and I believe this when I'm talking about souls and karma and all that, I believe that you can't assure anyone that it's always this way. I think there's as many variables as there are. Well, you're the only one in the universe that's you. I think there's that many variables in and amongst soul family. But first of all, I'm going to answer a call, and then we'll finish this about soul family in a while, because I want to talk about the strain between mothers and daughters and relate it to soul family. In the meantime, I have a call from Arizona. Welcome to the show, Sue.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. How are you? Thanks for calling in.
Ask you about Nils coming to visit. And knowing that from readings with you from years ago that he's a soulmate, what is it that needs to go on in the next?
That's a really good question, and I'll tell you why. Is because we're always looking for outcomes like, oh, this has to get done and that has to get done. But one of the things that, and this is for people at home who don't know who Nils is that there's a wonderful connection. There's a little age gap here, but there's a wonderful connection between two people who helped each other and taught each other. And you guided Nils a lot out of a depression, and you shared the work with a horse and other horses. And there's such a deep bond and a deep, deep affection there. And so I'm looking at him and I'm going, you know what, the whole, okay, well, I don't know if you heard the part where I said these kinds of consciousnesses are contagious. There's something about these two souls that have moved together several times already in this lifetime, and it will continue to share of a healing, loving, and of the presence of one another. I'm cutting out, apparently. Is that right? Is that what you're telling me? Okay, good. All right. Anyway, so that's the thing, is that he's coming to visit you after a break apart, and it's not been a breaking up. It's been a deep-hearted connection that fed both of you enough energy to keep each other filled. You were more the teacher, the filler, but both of you were fillers of each other in your lives. And that's another thing that's going to be reminded in you. You'll feel an awakening, an opening, and he also will. I just see the look in his eyes as being absolutely thrilled to be with you. And that's all that's required, is checking each other out and knowing that that love is... Love is a funny thing because it goes on, doesn't it? When you really touch that place in yourself that is not about possessive or sexual love or any of those things, it doesn't go away. It never has to go away, even though the person went off and did other things, and so did you. That's a real soul bond, and it's lovely. Now, the other thing is, we talked about... somebody else is asking a question. If you want to text me or phone in again, Sue, that would be great. In the meantime, I'm going to answer Michelle. So let's see. Michelle has a couple of questions, Veronica. I'd like to be able to hear my higher guidance. Is there something specifically blocking me from this? And the second question is, I wondered what you might have to share with us about the planet Nibiru. Lots of chatter out there on the internet about this planet and its up and coming potential effects on the Earth. Well, I have to call ignorance to question number two, because it's supposed to be a fairly difficult influence on Earth, I believe. And I just stopped reading and listening about that. So forgive me for that. But as far as hearing your higher guidance, there's something specifically blocking you. Your focus, here's something interesting. Your focus is too intent. You're trying too hard. You're better to, here's what I learned the interesting way, is if you do some, and this is for everybody at home, and if you do some very rapid panting breath like this, it can be as simple as 2 minutes of rapid panting through the nose, or it can be a lot longer than that. So if we're doing this, and then continue doing it by crossing your eyes and pointing them up into your third eye for a while. And as you feel the excitation in the frontal lobes there, then you focus up higher again. Yes. And what you'll find is your brain patterns lighten up and lighten up and lighten up. And when I say that, what I mean is with your, let me see, how can I put it? With your vision, you don't want to look, you don't want to try. You don't want to look direct. I want to find my guidance. What you want to do is excite and agitate the membranes that go over your third eye and over the frontal part of your frontal lobe. And when you breathe like that, do really intense breathing. And sometimes you can add some, if you feel like it, add some sounding like chanting or om. But you don't do it with just saying and singing the sound. You do it with the consciousness of vibrating your body. Because if you look at yourself as a vibrational vehicle, you find as you vibrate your body, you're opening the channels more and more to be able to perceive in different realms. And that's where the guides hang out. They're in different levels of consciousness, in different frequency levels. Yeah, there you go. And so what you're doing is vibrating by making sounds, by making breath. Throw in a few visualization or some meditation mantras as well if you want to. But the more you can vibrate your body, the easier it will be. I used to have visions out of control, which can happen when your blood sugar is a mess. So some of you have hypoglycemia. my health food teacher used to say, ha ha, I wonder how many psychics are really psychic and our other ones just have hypoglycemia. He thought that was hilarious. Years later, when I was exploring and I knew that I had blood sugar fluctuations and I knew that I had vision self-control and I was always afraid that I was crazy, I took to studying nutrition, to rebalancing my blood sugar by making sounds, like I'm telling you, chanting and vibrating my body. And I would move my body a lot. But at the very beginning, my visions or my ability to see was kind of cloudy or distorted. And I was trying to get rid of any visions at all. But as I kept doing that, and then I threw in a bit of a workout. I still do it, a crazy dance, like a, what do they call it? A chaotic meditation dance. I do that, always clearing my head, always clearing my mind, always emptying, focusing on the chakras, anything that would help me empty my mind. And then at the very end, my perceptions were getting clearer and clearer and clearer. Not because I was hanging on to them, because I was clearing them. But in all of my activities of meditation and movement and dietary stuff and making sounds and vibrating my body, all of that was just readying my vehicle to be more prone to perceiving. So I hope that that helps you, Michelle, because when I look at you, I see that you could be very good at that. Not just the movement and all the things I told you about, any of the aspects of that would work for you. But you have that kind of energy that would be very prone to bringing in information from higher levels. But thanks so much for texting your request, your question. And I'd love it if someone else would do that as well. So now I think we'll go from there. Is there anyone else on the phone yet? Nobody? All right, we're going to go from there back to soul families. And it's fairly well versed these days that people are realizing that soul families are people like your mom and your dad. Say you've got your own family of origin here. People say, I don't belong here. But so everything I hear, not everything, most of what I hear is that these beings in your soul family are people that you've traveled with. And very often, like the mother will have been a little boy. You take different roles. You might have been the dad. You might have been the mom. You might have been all these different years. And then to act out new ways of finding harmony. Or maybe the ideal is finding love. Nurture dream, because I'm a bit of an adventurer, is I would love it to be finding this great weaving of beings so you could together foment a new way to move consciousness in a sort of a mini community style. That's what I'd really like. But very often, family groupings, we already talked about mothers and daughters, and we'll get back to that. Very often, family groupings have tremendous stress in and amongst them because something awful has happened in the past, and then you come back, you've taken on different roles. But you can, and just ask yourself if you have this experience, but you can feel something like a fear, a deep fear, a push-pull between you and somebody in your family, which doesn't make any sense according to the, you know, the in this lifetime experiences you've shared in that family. But there's somebody who really drives you crazy. And you can bet your bottom dollar if you do a little bit of past life regression, you'll find yourself having been in a drama where somebody got killed or somebody was destroyed. It's really fascinating. Maybe somebody was burned at the stake by the very person that she's now, that's now her father or her mother, you know? Or the other way around, maybe he was burned at the stake or he was the, and she was the one who tantalized him and got him into trouble that got him burned at the stake. We don't know. Except that family groupings seem to have a lot more of that kind of activity than a lot of other groupings. And having said that, I go, that isn't really true because, like I say, everyone's different. But that's how I've understood or how I've seen family groupings working. So I have a dear, dear, dear friend, and my guides were very clear that we are called soul allies, not soul mates. Soul mates are very often, and so are twin flames, are very often really, really difficult because there's an innate expectation and a bondage problem for soul mates. So, for example, if you meet a twin flame or a soulmate and you know each other soul to soul, you've known each other for ages, but in this lifetime, you might be out of sync. So when you're together, there's going to be a frustration between people because you're not where I know you should be and I'm not where you know I should be. And it's not just like a disagreement like you have with a kind of a more mainstream or more normal kind of relationship. It's an incredible push-pull. You can feel it almost yanking on your belly and pulling you down, even though there's usually such a passionate love that you think you're going to die without it. And it's so interesting because that pull that's from the soul is so deep and so relentless. People will break up with somebody because it's a hard relationship, but they usually don't recover. And you can say, well, that's because you've been together in this relationship for thousands of years, you know? It's that soulmate is that kind of relationship. And there are some that are split from the same soul. So you have a soul and it splits into two. Now that's another bondage, and I call it bondage because it isn't it's a relentless attachment, but it isn't always bad. Sometimes it can be soothing and even, and it's like a completion. That can happen too. Or it can be a slight misfit for whatever the time sink isn't at that point. Really interesting. So let's go back to Sue and Nils. And I'm going, wow, you two have... I don't see one of those bondage kinds of forms. I see an old long-term attraction. You've been married before. You've been siblings before. And there's been a love and a desire to reconnect, but not necessarily to belong in any of the social fabric that we expect, like husband and wife or... hi, Sue. Can you hear that I'm talking about you again?
Oh, are you?
Yeah, welcome back.
Thank you. I walked away from the computer, so I'm on the phone.
Oh.
Because there's a delay, which gets really confusing.
Oh, okay. Well, apparently we were having a lot of breakdown in Skype. So I'm glad you came back because I was just talking about how you two have this really ancient soul connection. And you've had a number of roles together. One is husband and wife. You've been married before, and I think you know that. And and there's one in which you, I guess, siblings. And you've had trauma together. Not from each other as much. You've been more protectors, absolutely loving together way back when. In this lifetime, it's more the protector, caretaking role of love. You know, these are all love forms, aren't they?
Can you see where we were in other lifetimes?
Yeah. One of them I see... Well, it's actually in, there are two. One is in Eastern Europe and one is in Eastern France. And in both of them, let's see, one of them, I think you were a man. You were both men together and it was to do with the war in France. I believe it was the Second World War. Right at the beginning, when things were beginning to rile up, neither of you lived very long, but he went off in Eastern, you died, and he went off to fight in, I can't quite see where it is, but he traveled east from the east of France, and he went off in through, I suppose, Poland, and I can't see what they were called in those days, but he went over toward Russia and fought, and he lost his life there. And he has had, the two of you have had sibling relationship. But I'll tell you what, Sue, that's really interesting about this, is talking about the kinds of soul relationships we have. This has been one that has been, like whenever you come back together, there's this flow in there of a very deep, almost unfathomable, harmonizing kind of love. Like you'll help each other. But not in the codependent way where you have to be together. It's more like we can both match the intensity of the other and absolutely know what the other one needs. He can be more of a child to you because he needed some of that. And yet it's much greater than that. Do you understand what I mean by that?
Mm-hmm.
So coming to visit is a deep deep soul and heart hit for both of you. And it can be just tea, walks, chats, sharing, animals, all of that. It doesn't have to be.
Well, I have another question.
My heart's going to break.
Listening to you has completely changed the focus of the question.
Oh,
can you hear me?
Okay. I hope that's all right. Yes. Can you hear me?
No, it's good. Because it's my concern about my reservations for the cabin. And I realize that my emphasis is on the money.
Mm-hmm.
But the value that people get when they come here is the harmonic convergence, if you will, of this valley.
Oh, I love it. So tell people what you're about your little cabin and tell them what, sort of a little bit about where you are.
Oh, I'm in southeastern Arizona in ranch country where there's a group of us doing conservation ranching. But the cabin is a 100-year-old rock cabin that's built into the mesa where it is. And people have the most incredible experiences there. I get people in touch with a Native American couple, and they'll go off and do a spirit walk with them. And sometimes they'll just come and work in the fields with us. But
wow.
People,
the whole purpose being to learn about sustainability, is that?
Oh, yes. Yes, mm-hmm. About and living simply. You know, relearning what it is you need and don't need.
Wow, was that a big adjustment for you?
Say that again?
Was that a hard adjustment for you to make?
No. It's certainly a hard adjustment for my daughter when she comes.
Well, we'll get into the mother and daughter
in
a bit. But I really like the idea. I know this is not an advertisement show, but I love the idea of you telling people, because I've been down there with your alpacas and your horses and your chickens and gosh only knows what all, and the people that are so graciously sharing whatever resources are available. That's so unusual, isn't it?
Yeah, well, this is a very supportive group of people who are really, really interested in conserving this valley.
And the people that have come and stayed in your cabin, in your cabin have a lot of that as well, right?
Yeah.
And who's come to stay there?
I'm sorry, what?
Where do the people come from who come and stay?
Oh, my God, they've come from all over. I've had one couple from Canada come 3 times.
Wow.
So it's big distances, but people find it, you know? It's somewhere out there on the airwaves.
Wow. And
it's also on Airbnb.
And that helps more. You're going to have more people come. You're going to have a little rush of people very shortly. But for people at home, it's on Airbnb, and it's not very expensive, but it really is a niche for finding out about sustainability. So I'm glad you called in about that. And it's funny because you're talking about this loving friendship with Nils, and I go, now there's a sustainable relationship, because it doesn't depend on living in family. It just depends on that amazing connection that was made between the souls. Heaven only knows how far back. And it sustains itself. So there you are. You're an inside-out ad, aren't you?
Thanks, my dear.
Thanks, Sue. Thanks for your call. I really find it interesting when I go down to Sue's place, which is a long way away from me. I'm up in the northwest coast. And she's way down there. It's so interesting to watch people make the most. It's a little like permaculture, where you make the most of every single thing you do with the earth. What's the thing about permaculture? You use water and dirt at least three times, and wood. Everything has to be used three times before it's done its thing. So anyway, we're talking about mothers and daughters, and one of the things that I've found out, we were talking about mothers and daughters, let's go back into it. How many of you have seen young women be so hateful or frustrated with their mothers that you can't even believe it? This doesn't happen once or twice. This is a widespread thing. And I love the question, which was like, why? It was Peg who sent this question in. Why does this happen? And it's really in our society, you know, we've got this whole thing about women. We're learning how to be independent. We're learning, and I say we're learning because we're not always great at it yet. We've gotten independent by being defiant a lot of the times. You know, we've kind of fought our way out of being not able to vote or not recognized as being a powerful being. And so we've been defiant, and we've pushed against all kinds of rulership, haven't we? And I wonder, when I look at this and I ask my guides about it, first of all, the one thing that they've told me that I've stuck to through the years is that the young girl wants to grow up to be independent, and wants to be, and she's a bit defiant about control and authority as well. But there's nothing that makes her madder than seeing her mother's vulnerability. If the mother fades, or she's codependent, or she's putting up with an abusive relationship, or she's hiding herself, her real, and this is what you and I should be all about when we're talking about consciousness, your real identity is a whole lot different than the identity that you pose on. So like a lot of women will make their identity their children, right? So because I have this child, I'm important and so on. That's a whole lot different for the little girl to be looking up to her mom and looking for leadership, for strength, and for actual evidence that she is going to be a mighty and dynamic woman and strong and do what she wants to do. Because mom seems to be codependent, seems to be leaning on people. So I think it's a whole lot going on in this society about that. You're supposed to be free. You're supposed to be free, in all these different ways, and find your own career and find yourself. Well, if mama doesn't do it and mama hasn't done it well, guess what? Your daughter is going to be so annoyed and frustrated with you. And I've seen it over and over and over again. But I'm wondering, let's go into this part of like how, and if you've got any comment on that, please, please phone 888-627-6008, 888-627-6008. Oh, and then we'll be done here, I'm sure. If you've got any comments, phone in and say something about it. But to me, it's starting to make sense. It's like a phase in our history where these girls are expecting to be freer and dynamic and so on. And where we act weak or we are oppressed by our husbands or people around us, they're furious. They have no respect for us, and it's really painful. It's very painful for all of us to watch. What can we do about it? I think we can say things like that to the girls, because the reality of it is that a lot of people in my vintage and other periods in history, a lot of the women have had to pull themselves out of having their identity described in social forms, right? So as you pull yourself out, obviously some of your vulnerabilities, girl children, don't really have. Anyway, this is Veronica Entwistle. I love talking to you all. You haven't called in droves, but I've enjoyed Sue and Michelle and the fact that you listeners are out there. My name is Veronica Entwistle, and if you'd like to be in touch with me, email me, or how about this, go into my website, veronicaentwistle.com, E-N-T-W-I-S-T-L-E, veronicaentwistle.com. And pay attention if you feel like some very interesting conversations with a whole bunch of Paradigm Shifter podcasts that are out there floating around. They're here on the archives. They're in iTunes, Stitcher. You can pick them up at my own website, veronicaentwistle.com. I also do a sacred structures meditation a couple of times a week. And if you're interested in joining into that and find ways to empower your unique nature, and also give yourself some peace, veronicaentwistle.com. Check in there and sign up. So thank you so much for listening. And thank you, BBS, for being out there. And again, my name is Veronica Entwistle. I really believe that we can really shift consciousness all over this planet. It isn't too late, but we have to pick up our skirts and raise our fields and frequency and be contagious with it, one to the other. Much love and good night.